We're doing the book Netivot Shalom, Chassidut on our Parsha, and the subject we're discussing is the time when Israel proceeded to say Na'aseh, we will perform, before they said Nishma, we will hear. So the Rebbe of Slonim, who wrote this work, wrote a work that is very accessible, and that's why we learn the Netivot Shalom. It's like an intro to Chassidut. And he begins by quoting the verse, Vayikach Sefer HaBrit, Moshe took the contract of the covenant, Vayikra Bo Oznei HaAm, he read it out loud so the people could hear, Vayomeru Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma, the people declared, whatever God says, we are prepared to do and listen. Vayikach Moshe Et Adam, so Moshe took the blood from the sacrifice, Vayizrok al ha'am, he sprinkled the blood in the direction of the nation. Vayomer, Moshe declared, Hinei dam habrit asher karat Hashem imachem al kol hadvarim ha'ele. Behold, this blood represents the covenant that God has made with you over all these things. Kol hadvarim ha'ele, what does Moshe mean when he says the covenant over all these things? Hainu gam al umram kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. That is a reference not only to the pact, to the Torah, but also to the concept that the Jewish people were prepared to say, we will perform. We will do, and only afterwards hear the reasoning.
Would it have anything to do with the Brit Milah, the covenant as well?
So the Talmud says that generation had circumcised beforehand. Ordinarily, during conversion, a person circumcises. This generation had circumcised 2 months earlier before they left Egypt. So the Talmud says that the blood of the sacrifice came instead of the blood of the circumcision. You're right that from here we derive that under normal circumstances, during a conversion process, there is that blood that represents the covenant, either from a full-blown circumcision or from a hatafat dam brit. Yes?
There is somewhere in the Rashi that says that in the previous parasha, the acceptance of the Torah was accompanied by a treaty of the components of conversion. One of them was Brit Milah, but then who got Brit Milah if they did 2 months before?
Let's see the Rashi. Okay. Let's see, man. So, the Netivot Shalom says the covenant wasn't only with regards to the pact, but also with regards to the concept that the Jewish people were prepared to perform. They actually merited to have this covenant with God because they came forth and said, we're willing, we're accepting. So we have to understand this concept of saying we're willing to perform and only later understand. Our sages say that this was the highest level they attained in receiving the Torah. Ukmo shamruan, as the Talmud says in Tractate Shabbos, that when Israel said Na'aseh before Nishma, so 600,000 angels came to each Jew and tied upon them two crowns, one corresponding to Na'aseh and one corresponding to Nishma. So the Talmud seems to say that was the apex. That was when they reached the pinnacle, the zenith. That's it. They said Na'aseh v'Nishma. Odita sham. Further, we see there b'shashik dimu Yisrael na'aseh nishma. When the Jews said na'aseh before they said nishma, they said we will perform before they said we want to understand. Yatztamat kol ve'amcha lahen. A heavenly voice came out and said to them, "Migila lebanai raz ze shemalachei asheret mishtamshim bo." Who revealed to my children this secret that the angels in heaven use this secret term na'aseh v'nishma? Odam Rusham, the Talmud over there goes further and says, "B'shashek dimu lefanecham nasel nishma karat alem bni bechori Yisrael." That Moshe says to God, when they said Na'aseh before Nishma, then you made a declaration, they are my chosen, they are my firstborn son Israel. And Rashi says that it was in that merit that God knew they would say Na'aseh v'Nishma, that God said to Pharaoh, they are my chosen children. Where does it say Bni Bechori Yisrael? When God sends Moshe to Pharaoh and says, let the Jews go, so he tells Pharaoh, B'ni b'chori mi Yisrael, you're dealing with my cherished firstborn son, you got to let him go. So what does that mean in the merit of saying Nasa before Nishma, we were called B'ni b'chori Yisrael? Rashi says, God knew we were going to do it. So in that merit, he already defined us as B'ni b'chori Yisrael. Va'olemi kol ze, what we see from all these different sources is that she'akdamat Nasa le'nishma imadriga gva b'yoter shelhem. They reached the highest level when they could say Nase before Nishma. Shematan Torah gufa itam bekfiya, because when they came to receive the Torah, there was an element of God's forcing His hand. There was an element of, you better. You don't have too much of a choice, God saying. Oh, shekafa lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKegigit. God lifts the mountain, holds it over them, and says, what do you say? You want to keep the Torah? So then they sort of had to accept the Torah. But their special, unique level was specifically this, that in our parsha, at the end of our parsha, the Jewish people say, we will do even before we understand. And that declaration was made of their own free will. And that's why they merited all those great levels that the 600,000 angels come and tie two crowns on their head and God calls them His chosen son. What's going on here? We can explain based on what the holy work Ma'or Einayim explains in Parshas Yisro. He says, every human being has times that he goes up and times that he goes down. It's a part of life. It's something everyone experiences. He references the verse in Ezekiel that describes the heavenly angel of Chayot that's running back and forth. That the idea of running back and forth represents this human nature that we are constantly going up and down, back and forth. Where we have highs, we have lows, we're fluctuating. The idea behind this is one of the secrets of the Torah. The Yehudi tzarich, and a Jew is required, gam bizman yirida, even when he's going down, liyot tavuk b'Hashem, to be connected to Hashem. V'ze ikar kabbalat haTorah. And this is the prime receiving of Torah. Sheyisrael yu tamid dvukim b'Hashem afilu bizman yirida. To be connected to Hashem, even when one is going down. And I want to pause for a second. There's a concept that we haven't yet discussed this year, as a class. And it's a concept that really, I think, everyone has to think about. We have ups, we have downs. Where's our red line? Where do we say, my down doesn't go below that? Usually when guys ask me if I think they're ready to date, the first question I ask is, when you've had a down, how far down did you go? Were you still keeping Shabbos? Were you still eating kosher? I'm not so interested in what your ups have looked like in the last 2 years. I'm interested in what your downs have looked like in the last 2 years. Our growth, to a great extent, is measured by our downs. And we have to define for ourselves, what are our red lines? Where am I going to hold myself accountable not to go beneath this? I got this idea when I met a guy who had come to Israel, had gone to Tzfat and gotten all excited about Judaism. And then he went back to do university, and he was very realistic. He said to himself, this was all nice, but when I'm going to go back, I'm not going to be able to do all of this. So he decided for himself, his red lines would be Shabbos, Kashrut, and he would have Torah every week. He insisted that every week he would learn Torah. And he said he's always maintained those red lines. Now, it struck me. He didn't discuss some other very important mitzvot. And I admire that. Because we have a rule, tafasta merube lo tafasta. If you try to get too much, you ain't going to get anything. The key over here is to make those red lines something that you'll really abide to. It's not only about the ideal and saying, you know, ideally my red line should be I put on tefillin every day. I daven every day. I daven three times a day. I daven with the minyan three times a day. I don't go into a restaurant that doesn't have a hechsher. There are many things that are right, and we should aspire to them. But our question is, in the fluctuations of life, how far am I going to let myself go down? And that's a question you have to ask yourself. We had an alumni not so long ago, before any of your time, but that's not so long ago. I mean, no one's been here longer than a year. We had an alumni who was very diligent and into his learning, and he dated a girl. They were about to get engaged, and then we met, and she said, you know, I'm concerned because he says he's not sure there's a God. So I said, okay, but he's being straight with you, so he's been saying that throughout the dating. You know, I'm not telling you to marry him, but you sort of ask yourself, okay, what changed now? You thought you dated the guy, now you'd convince him there was a God. You know, he said that on the first date. He hasn't changed. So I didn't know what to say, and then she said, but I'm going to marry him anyways. Okay? So I asked one question. I asked both of them. I said, what's your minimum? She came from a from birth family. I said, how would you feel if he wakes up Shabbos morning and says, I'm not going to shul today, and rolls over to the other side, and you say, what do you mean you're not going to shul today? The kids are going to see you in bed all Shabbos. You're not going to go to shul today? So you're legitimate in your request. But he says, I don't feel inspired today. I don't feel like it. Would you have an issue with it? And what happens if he wakes up one morning and says, I'm not putting on tefillin today? Now, where do we draw the line? What about kashrut? What about keeping Shabbos? Now, this question goes both ways. It doesn't have to be the guy who's being asked the question. It could also be the girl. My question to both of them was, where's the minimum that you are ethically binding yourself to? You know you're marrying her, and she expects a certain lifestyle. She knows she's marrying you. Have you discussed where's the meeting ground in your relationship? Where's that minimum where you irrespective of whether you believe in it or not, you're going to do it because ethically you owe it to this person if you're going to marry them. There's a certain understanding you owe the person. And here I leave religion out of the story. I'm talking basic ethics. If two people are getting married with an understanding, you got to live up to that minimum. So define the minimum. So I hope that when you guys get to the stage that you're getting engaged and married, you'll know there is a God. And you'll be at a point where there will be many things included in your minimum. But I'm going back to square one because there are also people here who are going back to the States, people who are traveling. And I don't know where every person's holding. I think that people do have to define their red lines for themselves, and as we grow, hopefully those red lines move with us. It's pretty sad if a person is finishing Shas and his red line is still, I'm going to eat kosher even when I don't feel like it. I'd expect his red line should be a little higher than that. I think we have to be careful not to make those red lines too high. They should be something that we can live with and live up to and maintain our whole life. And hopefully we move them forward. But I'm just bringing this up in connection with what he's saying, that the key idea here is that the Jew is connected to Hashem even when he has a down. And you have to ask yourself, what is that? I think I told the story this year about the guy who was very serious and sincere. He was here for 2 months. And then at the end of 2 months, he came and said, he's leaving. And I asked him, what are you taking with you from Mahon Meir, right? I told you guys the story. No. Okay. Okay. So he said nothing. that was the story in a nutshell. And I said, okay, it's got to be something, you know, take one thing with you. Tell me, I don't know, you'll make Kiddush Friday night. Something, you know, nothing. So he said, gee, can't think of anything. It was nice, it was interesting, and I don't see anything. So at that point, I told him, okay, we'll talk again tomorrow. I'm making a long story short. But think it over. There's got to be something. And he took with him the idea of learning the parasha every week. And that he kept up with. And today, that's what ultimately kept him connected to Judaism. He ended up coming back to Eishat Torah, by the way, not to us. And that's where he grew. And Baruch Hashem, today he's leading a beautiful, observant life. Coming back to the Ntivot Shalom. So the first level a Jew should attain in receiving the Torah is this idea that even when he has a down, he's still connected. V'zeu inyanik dimu na'aseh l'nishma. That's the idea that they said we will perform. Before they said we will listen. Haynu she'na'aseh gam b'lo she'nishma v'navin. That they will perform even at times when they don't hear it. Sometimes you could try to listen to Torah and it's not going. And this often happens when a person goes to Chutz Laretz. They visit their old friends. They visit their family. They visit their neighborhood. And suddenly everything they've been doing here seems unreal, seems possible but not necessary. You look at it and you say, wait a second, what was I thinking? And was I real then or am I real now? It's so easy to slip back into what we were used to. And then you look at everything you did when you were here and you say, yeah, I was into things then, but that's one of the reasons I don't like Facebook. I see what happens when guys unravel. So, shegam bizmanim yehudim niyet vukim bashem. So the idea of naseh is that even at times when a person's down, he's connected to Hashem. V'achar kach ba madrigat nishma. Then comes the level of nishma, we will listen. Shia madriga yoter gvura shedvikut Hashem itbarach. Bizman aliyah, that's the higher level that a person can ascend and connect on a higher level with Hashem. Bezoi gdulatam shel Yisrael. That's the greatness of Israel. Asher kadosh baruch hu itbaher behem. That's why God says, I take pride in Israel. Al kach shekdimu na'aseh l'nishma. That they were careful to first say na'aseh and then nishma. She'esigu ha'emet shel olam yu dvukim b'Hashem itbarach afilu bezman chashchut. That's a tremendous truth for a person to attain that idea that even when I'm down, I'm going to be connected to Hashem.
If I make bed my hell. If I make my bed in hell, you're still there, right?
I'll tell you, it's an interesting concept. We see it in marriage. In marriage, there are times you're very excited over your spouse. And there are times where you're not very excited, to put it mildly. But the last thing you want to do is walk through the door. You'd like to stay late, maybe even fall asleep at work. You don't want to walk back through that door. And those are the times when couples really build their relationships. Meaning when a person can take that down and say, I'm in it. Not only for better, but for worse. That I always say that every challenge that you surmount in a marriage, that's when you've built the marriage. People think marriage is built on good times. Good times are an important part of marriage. But marriage is built when you can overcome the bad times. When things are really tough and the two don't break up because of that, then they've built something. ועל פי זה מבאר הכתוב, ואתם מדבקים בשם אלוקיכם. And based on this, Me'or Einayim explains the verse, you who connect to Hashem, your God, Shem Havayah u'b'chinat gilui, you who connect to Hashem who's revealed, v'shem Elokim, he says, you who connect to Hashem, Elokechem. Hashem is the revealed aspect. Elokim is the idea of din, tzimtzum, it's the idea that God is so to speak, more hidden. And that's why the Pasuk stresses, you who are connected, be it when it's Hashem more revealed, be it when it's Elokechem more hidden, either way, through thick and thin, that's the connection that Hashem says, you continue. So that's the first part over here on the on Naaseh v'Nishma, the idea of Naaseh being connecting to Hashem even on downtimes, Nishma being the capacity to grow and reach new heights. And those are the two concepts of connection with Hashem. And hopefully we'll have an opportunity to continue here.